A lot of smart people don't feel so smart when it comes to their money. So Morgan Stanley made a podcast to help. Listen to What Should I Do With My Money? To hear real people ask real questions about money and get helpful answers from experienced financial advisors.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Here's a parallel thought. Here's a parallel thought for the student. Do you pray before every test, or do you just study? It's not as much about like the routine of prayer. It's not much about, hey, this is how you pray. It's a confrontation, man. It's a book on, hey, stop praying for this so much.
Travis Green, man, my brother.
That you're this close to proximity. And you don't understand that proximity is prophetic. That God, if God has you in a house like this, then obviously there's something on you. I love the concept of entrepreneurship. There's certain things about what culture is promoting that I think is great. I want you to dream bigger. I want you to think bigger. I want you to get outside the box. However,
Travis Green, man, my brother. Listen, before we get into this conversation, because I literally text you because I went viral for saying something, and then I get a copy of your book, and I'm sitting here blown away because I'm like, yo, that's what I was saying, but you said it so better than me that you can say it and won't get me in no trouble. But before we go there, bro, I want to know a question that I think everyone knows Travis Green, the artist. But I want to ask you this question to start off today's show. Who is Travis Green? Like, if your wife was there, not the artist, not the celebrity, you know what I'm saying? Not even the pastor, but like, at Travis Green, who is that guy? Like, what does Travis do for fun? I know you're a husband, you're a father, you're a son, you know, but who is the Travis Green that we don't know? Can you give us one thing that the world will not know about Travis?
Honestly, I'm an open book. So I think most people know what to expect when it comes to me. I'm all things energy, all things life for the party, all things faith. My wife would just say I'm super spontaneous. And so I'm a feeler, highly emotional like David. But I'm a faith guy, man. I've seen too much not to doubt God. I'm all things basketball, all things hoops, all things NBA. And I'm just high on family. Family to me is more important than ministry. So I'm high on family, high on loyalty and friendships. And I'm just a Southern guy, man. That's it. What you see is what you get.
Man, I love it, man. You know, I got to tell you, thank you, man. When I came to speak for you, I think it's in 2023, you're the first person, or how do I say this? You gave me a pair of shoes, my very first pair of basketball shoes I've ever owned in my life. Very first. Like, so when you said that you're a basketball guy, I said, that makes sense. Cause the only pair of balling shoes that I have that I could wear on the street, not on the court, but on the street, came from you and your amazing church, man. So thank you so much for that, bro.
Yeah, I'll say, yeah, man. I'm all things hoops, all things J's, all things Nikes. And so that's me, man. That's me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's get to it, man. But hey, you have a new book that is out. You know, Are You Praying for the Wrong Thing? And when I was reading this book and when I was really looking at it, I even have notes on my computer that I want to ask you today. Your subtitle down below is what got me. It says, learning to ask what God wants for you, not just what you want. Yeah. And so when I was reading this book and going throughout the book, I haven't read all of it yet. Don't want to lie on the show, but I'm there. I'm getting there. According to you, you're saying it's not a prayer book. but yet you talk about prayer inside of the book. I need you to help me understand this, bro. Like, what do you mean? If prayer is on the front cover, but it's not a prayer book, what are we missing, man? What are we missing?
Yeah, I would say it's not as much about like the routine of prayer. It's not much about, hey, this is how you pray. It's a confrontation, man. It's a book on, hey, stop praying for this so much. And I mean, you gotta understand. I mean, you know me, Anthony, but I'm charismatic to my core, and I'm glad you asked who's Travis, because I really am all things faith. Mm-hmm. I believe God is able, but man, in my adulthood, God has really taught me that many times we're not waiting on Him. Many mm-hmm. times He's waiting on us. And that's why I love your program and what you stand for, because a lot of things that we think is a miracle issue is really a management issue. And so the better question is, hey, are you ready for what you're praying for? I don't want to get canceled by this, but I think we need to pray less and plan more.
No. Let's stay right there. Let's please stay right there. Travis, you said, I think we should pray less for certain things and plan more.
Yeah.
And last year I went viral. I probably lost about 2,000 followers that day.
Good Lord.
I made a post, and my post was simple. I want you to tell me this because, you know, you're a man of integrity and character, and you wrote the book on this. I said, I don't have to pray and ask God to pay my mortgage. Yeah. I just have to budget it.
Yeah.
And they went crazy, Travis. They were like, I got to pray. God needs to be in everything in my life. I'm like, no, He's in everything because He gave me the resources.
Absolutely.
I don't have to pray to budget. I just need to budget and live within my means. But if I got to pray and ask God for that house, then I can't afford that house at this time of my life. So what do you think on that, man? Was I off? Was I wrong? Because I'm reading the book and I'm like, your book is pretty much saying, well, Anthony, you're not too wrong with that statement. What's going on, family? Listen, every day is a chance to make progress. Whether it's sticking to your budget, saving a little extra, or treating yourself to that guilty pleasure takeaway. And let's be real, we all need those little wins to keep us motivated and moving forward. Speaking of wins, though, let me tell you about my friends over at Chime. You see, I used to get hit with these hidden fees left and right, and it felt like I was constantly playing the financial game whack-a-mole. But when I discovered Chime, no more monthly fees and no maintenance fees, just smooth selling all the way. So now, what set Chime apart is that it's not just a bank, it's a community. With Chime, you're not just another account number, you're a part of something much bigger. And I want you to join millions of us Chimers who are making strides towards our financial goals. You see, with Chime, you get paid 2 days early, no monthly fees, and access to over 60,000 ATMs for free nationwide. Plus, when you give your friend a boost, a little bit of extra money, and they can boost you right back for no fees. It's like having each other's back in a financial game. So here's the deal. I want you to head over to chime.com/TTAO and enter promo code TTAO. When you open up a Chime checking account and activate your debit card, they're going to give you some lunch money. That's right. They're going to give you $10 right in your bank account. That is $10 for simply doing what you're doing, and that's opening up a Chime account. So what are you waiting for? Let's make progress together, $1 at a time. And speaking of progress, let's get back to today's show.
Here's a parallel thought for the student. Do you pray before every test or do you just study? You know, and don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you not to pray. I'm just saying He heard you the first time. And many times we're being redundant in our prayers and in our requests because we really want Him to be Santa and not sovereign, right? Like he's God enough to orchestrate our paths, make your request known. That's scripture, right? Bring your supplications. Let them know what you want. But man, you got a steward, right? You have to manage. And stewardship is not ownership, but rather it's taking responsibility that, hey, man, the owner, God, had placed something in my hand, something in my possession, something in my mind. And I have to be responsible now enough to be a willing participant in the miracle. You're going to be very hard-pressed. And I got a master's in theology, so I go Bible with you. You're going to be hard-pressed to find a scripture where God does something without man's participation. Mm-hmm. Very difficult. A miracle. A miracle. You want to be healed? Dip yourself in this water. you want this Red Sea to be open? Lift up your rod. You want this giant to fall? Take your shot. Over and over and over through scripture, the miracles require participation. And with all of those people, there were reps for it.
Yes, sir.
When Moses grabbed that rod, it wasn't his first time messing with it.
Yes, sir.
When David had that slingshot, wasn't his first time throwing a stone. So the question is, reps or stewardship? The question is, are you prepared for what you're planning, what you're praying for? A prayer without a plan is wishful thinking. And so there's a lot of believers. This is what really burdened my heart for them, because I'm one of them. I just graduated from it. But I come from the same school of thought of, man, God, if you just do this, my life will be better. If you just do this, my life will be better. A 30-second story real quick, Anthony. Is the whole way this book, Are You Praying for a World Thing, was written was I'm in the car. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, visiting a small church called Elevation. And this is in 2018, right? And I minister there, and I compliment Furtick, and I said, hey, man, we need to work out. He said, bet. Come to the house. Let's work out. So I'm riding with his right-hand guy, the money guy, the guy who runs everything. His name is Chunks Corbett. Anybody who knows anything about Elevation, no Chunks. And so I'm riding with Chunks. We pass a building that's probably 7 miles from the broadcast campus. This building was the first major purchase, right? We're talking several millions. We're talking in the tens. I look at it. I'm like, man, I never recognized these buildings were so close. It's like, yeah, this is one of our first buildings, so we just keep it because, you know, our people, you know, they're great people that's there, and we just want to keep this campus. And he said, yeah, we bought it in year two. And I said, what did you just say? We bought it in year two. Now, Ford City at the time is 2 years old, struggling. We ain't got nothing. We ain't got no money, no resources, little staff. We struggling. I look at him, and I get upset with God. And then he says this. He said, yeah, an athlete gave us $1 million. You know, it really helped us out. I got so frustrated. And so I started talking to God. The rest of the car ride was Charlie Brown. I didn't hear nothing else the guy said. He just, wah, wah, wah. I'm like, God, like, what the heck, man? Like, I'm over here struggling. Like, where my blessing at? And the Lord asked me what I like to call a $1 million question. He said, what would you do with $1 million?
Ooh.
I had no answer. Ooh. And even the answers I had were your churchy answers, but I didn't have no plan with it. So I told him, this is me and God talking. I said, well, I'll get a bigger building. The Lord said, where? Square footage, interest rate, size. You're asking me for something. You're asking for provision and you don't have a vision. I said, well, I'll get more staff. He said, to do what? Better question, what does the current staff you have do? And see, here lies the problem. We have all of these prayers that we're fasting, giving, serving, praying. Like, we're doing the churchy stuff. We got one part of it right, right? And I'm not saying we should avoid any of that. I'm just saying without a plan and without preparation, we've wasted our time.
What I hear you're saying is a lot of us are praying, but we're praying for the wrong thing, because the prayer shouldn't have been, God, I need the money. The prayer should have been, God, what is it you have for me? And what is the plan and the strategy to get there?
Yes, exactly.
And so I want to ask you this question, because I think I see a lot of Christians. I'm in and out of churches. I'm in and out of Christian homes, and I'm counseling a lot of people. And I'm seeing them pray, God, I need a new car. God, I need this. God, I want more of this. God, I want this. But you're saying there's a science to our prayer that can eventually get us the things that we desire, but it can get us more than just the things that we desire. And so as Christians, as the body of Christ, let's say, for example, for my audience who are watching this show, they're all watching this show because they want to be debt free. You know, they want to build wealth. They want to leave a legacy to their children's children's children. Mm-hmm. How should we be praying to eventually get there one day? What are we missing inside of our prayers to get there as believers?
That's great, man. I mean, I have several things and they're all in the book. First, we need to pray. We need to figure out what God wants.
Yeah.
And that's where the subtitle comes from. It's a scripture, Psalm 37, verse 4. It has been, I think it's one of the most misquoted scriptures in the Bible. It says that he'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, yes, we skip the A clause. The A clause is delight in the Lord. So delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. So first you got to delight in him. That means you got to have spiritual discipline. You got to walk with him enough to even figure out what he wants. Now, that's A clause, delight in him. He'll give you the desires of your heart. This does not mean that he'll give you what you want. This means he'll give you what to want. And there's a difference. So there's some people who are praying for more, and that's not God's desire for them necessarily because it has nothing to do with their assignment. So, right? So Mother Teresa praying for a big house is a waste for her assignment. We need you to be a missionary, Mother Teresa. So what's the will of God for you? And then he'll place his desires in your heart. That way I'm not just praying for something that I'm inspired by TikTok or from a self-help book, but I actually know what God desires for me. His desires are in my heart. And then I'm praying towards those things and I don't have to live disappointed. I think the right type of prayers cancel or deflate really this big disappointment that many of us carry around because we have proper perspective and the proper expectations. So now I'm desiring things that's actually God's will for me, that he wants for me. And sometimes that may be a lot, but I don't think everyone's called to, I think it depends on your actual assignment. What's your grace for? What does God actually desires for you to do?
So you have a young and thriving church. And so when I hear you say, man, I got to start praying and asking God to put his desires in my heart. But what about the big 10,000 square foot home that I want? Or what about the big, business that I want to build? How do I know that's what God desires for me? Because if I like it, if I want it, you're telling me I got to go after what God wants for me. But if I like it and I want it, I can't have it. Is that what you're saying, Travis, that we can't have what we want? Or we need to first seek God and then come back to that?
It's not about having what you want. It really comes down to, is that what God wants for you? And I think here's what I believe. Let me just make it very practical. I think there's levels to walking with God, personally. Yes. It's my personal thought. Right? I can back it up with scripture. But yeah. I like to call it different zones. So level one is the love zone. And that's when I just come into the knowledge of his love and his grace for me. And that's what should get anyone saved, right? That man, not the fear of hell, but the love of God. So with loving kindness has he drawn me. Love lifted me. So when I get a grip of his love, that's the thing that arrests my heart. But that's just level one. And a lot of us get stuck there. Man, I'm loved by God. Level two is being used by God. A lot of people get excited about being used by God. But like I said earlier, God used a slingshot. God used a rod for Moses. God used a boat for Noah. God used a well for Jonah. God used a donkey for Balaam. So God, you don't even have to be human to be used by God. Nor do you have to be saved to be used by God. So a lot of people are fascinated with being loved by God and being used by God. I love my first cousin. I use a plumber, but I'm not giving neither one of them my American Express card. So the highest form of this walk is not being loved or used by God. It's being trusted by God. Here's a question. Can you be, when you're trusted by God, you're trusted with heaven's resources and you're trusted with heaven's plan. God, I mean, I want to be trusted enough to walk with God so I can be trusted with treasure and trusted with trouble. Have you considered my servant Job? That's the highest level to me, right? When God trusts me enough to give me his actual plan. Hey, Travis, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to trust you to carry it out. Hey, Moses, this is the tabernacle I desire. I trust you to carry it out. Hey, David, here's the temple I want. And you fumbled the trust. Now I got to have your son do it. So I want to be in a trust zone where I have a plan from God. God is strategic. God is a planner, not a procrastinator. And when you trust in him, he'll give you, hey, here's what I want to do through you to the earth. For some, that's a lot. I hope it's a lot for me. I want, you know, I've been broke. I've been, you know, I've had abundance. I like abundance. So, but there's seasons where God may require me. The Bible says, Matthew 4:1, nobody likes this verse. Now Jesus is at the baptism after he's been approved and sanctioned. And you know, you got God speaking from heaven. You know, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. We want to shout about that. Verse 1, Matthew 4. Then Jesus being led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. So there are seasons in your life. I just want us to have a balanced theology. Yep. There are seasons in your life where God can actually lead you to low places, lead yep. you to the valley, lead you to trying times. You know this, man. I mean, we've been blessed to know each other for a couple of decades now, and at least, you know, almost. And back in the day when neither one of us had nothing, we were probably more creative.
Heck yeah.
You feel me? So there's seasons that even walking with God, and you were spirit filled, you were laying hands on young people, those falling out. People don't know this side of you, but I know this side of you. You know what I mean? You know, you being used by God in a very high capacity spiritually.
Yeah.
And you didn't have what you have now. You didn't drive. Yep. We didn't have what we drive now. We weren't living how we're living now. But God led us in the season that we're in. So I also don't want to discourage people who may have lack and think that the blessings of the Lord aren't found there. You know, that's not true either. I think there's some who are called to have a lot. Jesus said, as long as the earth remains, you'll have the rich and the poor among you. I think there's some people who it just ain't your deck of cards to have $1 million, you know, to be a millionaire. That's all right.
That's fine. That's definitely fine. You know, Travis, you broke this down so good, man. I want to talk about this because I think some people, I'm feeling it in my spirit. There's someone watching right now saying, whoa, 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 whoa. You went from love to use to trust.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why a lot of people are not wealthy is because what you just said, some people are not called to it. But then another people is you are called to it, but God can't trust you yet because you're not on that level yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of us are stuck on that love part. How do we, and this is the pastor side of you, bro, how do we get there? What are just some simple things of right. how do we go from love to use, and we're right. on use and go from use to trust?
That's great, man. That's great. Let me say, I think definitions are very important, right? So I think we have to define what success is first, right?
Yes.
Success is not possession. I taught this a couple weeks ago here at Forest City, is that you can make a lot of things happen in your own strength, i.e. a ton of people, drug dealers. I mean, you know what I mean? We just say that, you know, I ain't even got to talk about people who, you know, doing crazy stuff mainstream, just drug dealers. They're, yeah. To some people, they're successful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they have a nice car, because they have possessions, but that doesn't mean that they're actually in God's will, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, success is not stuff. Success is obedience. And when I lock in on obedience, because this is what they don't know about you, Anthony, that I know. And I just thank God that we got so many friends like us that we knew before the blow, you know, the glow up. You know what I mean? Right. Before the glow up. This is what people don't know. You didn't. It wasn't your car that made you walk around with fulfillment.
Yeah.
Anthony's been Anthony, y'all, since his early 20s. Like, when you didn't have, neither one of us, we didn't have much of nothing. Nobody knew our names, but we were fulfilled. And so I have to give that truth, because it is only through obedience. Everything else is a substitute. It's only through obedience that I have fulfillment, and heaven caused me successful. Let's start there. Yeah. Two, to be trusted by God, and I said this quickly earlier, I think it's twofold. When God trusts you, he demonstrates that trust not only through treasure, but sometimes through trouble. And so, you know, the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. So sometimes being trusted by God, when we talk about the trust zone, now we got to bring Job into the equation. We talk about the trust zone. We got to bring Abraham and Isaac into the equation. When we talk about the trust zone, there's a lot of people. Trust ain't always sexy, is what I'm saying. Fact. So to be trusted by God doesn't just mean that you get a bunch of zeros. It also means, Mike Todd, that you get the target on your back. So to be trusted by God, you know, sometimes comes with affliction, comes with persecution, comes with betrayal, comes with tough lessons. But God, if God wants to send you a compliment, David, he sends a conflict called Goliath. And so the attack is affirmation of the anointing on your life, not access, not a platform, right? And so I got to be trusted enough not to clap back every time somebody comes at me. I got to be trusted enough, like you said earlier, 2,000 people leave. Well, a lot more of that left Gideon. 22,000 walked off with Gideon at one time. Then after that, another 9,700 leaving him with 300 when he started with 32,000 followers.
Yeah.
But God trusted him. Yes, with sir. That, right? Yeah. And so that's I just want to define that word trust a little more. But when we talk about possession, right? Because there are if people are watching this, a lot of times they're more on that. They're more on the train of like, all right, I feel called to have more possessions, and I want to be able to steward that correctly. Well, to be trusted with more really comes down. I got 20 stories in the Bible I could share, but I won't bore you. But to be trusted with more really comes down to how am I maximizing what I currently have, right? You know, some people, you know, a curse word is budget, right? Like, but budget is an offering.
Yes, sir.
It is proof now that I'm ready for more. The proof of my expectation is my preparation. I tell people, man, don't worry about moving. I wrote this in the book as well, because for a while I was frustrated with the church. Like, man, like, fam, if I just have more space, and God, if you could just move us to a bigger building. And the Lord said, Travis, quit worrying about moving and work and focus on maximizing. Use what you have, kill what you have, and then you'll demonstrate that you have the capacity to hold more. You hold what you can handle. And God is so gracious that a lot of times it's his grace and his love that is literally withholding the thing you're praying for.
Come on, Trav.
So I'm a digress, but I can go on and on and on of this.
No, bro. We got time. We got time. Because you're preaching what I'm saying. You're saying it better with the anointing on your life. Because so many people, I get bothered by it. I'm like, man, I want this. But are you even maximizing the season that God has you in?
Yeah, man.
You know, and it's like, what's going on, family? Have you ever worried about the incredible impact of influential figures like Megan Thee Stallion or the profound culture moments like the woman behind the Montgomery bus boycott? These stories are more than just headlines. They are powerful narratives that shape our history and inspire our future. You see, for me, these stories represent the strength, the resilience, and the creativity of the Black community. They remind us of our ability to overcome adversity and create world-shifting change. I believe my audience will find these stories both interesting and inspiring because they resonate with our shared experiences and aspirations. If you're interested in hearing more stories like this, you have to check out my friends at NPR Podcasts. NPR has a new collection of podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths collections, you'll hear stories of joy and resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting change out of struggle. Every episode is a living account of what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Megan Thee Stallion to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Michelle Obama, to the woman behind the Montgomery bus boycott. There's no limit to the range of NPR. Listen right now to these amazing Black stories, Black truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And I say this humbly, when you first met me, I'm pastoring at a nice sized church. Yeah. But man, I didn't pray and ask God to let me preach on big platforms. I didn't say, God, I want to preach for Bishop T.D. Jakes. I didn't say, right. God, I said, God, what do you want me to do here at this church in this city? Yep. How do you want me to impact these schools? Yep. What do you want me to do? And I didn't even realize until you said in your book that I was asking God, what do you want from me in this season? And when I focused on Jacksonville, Florida, when I focused on that, it just blew up.
Yes, sir.
And I'm like,
that's how it happens.
So Travis, you got a young, thriving church, and I mean a young, thriving church, y'all. Every time I go home, my parents live in Columbia, South Carolina. I was born in Columbia, South Carolina. Columbia, South Carolina is home to me, y'all. And if you're ever in the area, in the Columbia, Charlotte, you know, please go. Like, get to Forward City. And here's why. Because he has a spiritually mature, thriving young church. And every week you go, it is a revival. You're not sitting there singing hymns and just, no. It is a revival at Forward City. Every single time I go, you're not sitting down half of the service. Like, the spirit is moving. But what I love about you is that you have this anointing and you have this calling to where you are attracting young, thriving spiritual people. And I got to ask you this question before we end this show. And y'all, make sure you get a copy of his book. Make sure I'm saying it correctly. Are you praying for the wrong thing? We're going to link it in today's show notes. But Pastor Travis, now here's the pastor of you. What do you think about the mainstream culture and the overall messaging going out to our young people today and entrepreneurs? It's work hard, grind, don't work for nobody, be your own boss. You know, like it's what do you think about the overall message that's going out to these individuals?
I think both can be true, right? I don't think there's necessarily a right or wrong. I think it starts with the spirit, right? It starts with, man, doing what I've been called to do. I think motives matter, you know. Why do you want more? Why do you want your own thing? Why do you want to be rich? I think those questions really need to be answered, because they can really, to me, articulate the position of your heart. Where's your heart in all of this? So I think that's the first thing. But I mean, I love the concept of entrepreneurship. There's certain things about what culture is promoting that I think is great. I think thinking and dreaming larger is something that we need. We probably need more people thinking bigger than we do thinking smaller, honestly. I just think there's one thing in between. I think we're trying to get people from kindergarten to 12th grade without middle school. And I think the in between is the preparation. All right. So, all right, man, let's desire more. Let's expect more. God is able to do exceedingly above all we can ask or think. That's great. I want to ignite your faith. I'm a faith guy. So I want you, I'm preaching one of our culture codes. We got 7 of them. One of them is dream beyond. I want you to dream bigger. I want you to think bigger. I want you to get outside the box. However, I want you to get a plan. I think there is a season of, you know, man, don't tell me about your mantle until you show me what mantle you carry for someone else. You know, so I don't need to know before I know how powerful you are. I love to know, I love your resume on serving, because without that, you're going to lack empathy. You're going to lack with depth, insight, There's just so many things you're just not going to know. So as much as I am pro this part of culture and dreaming bigger, because I think many of our parents dream too small. I do believe that. I think many of our grandparents dream too small. And although there's noble things about how they lived and, you know, they made it happen and this and that, they grew their own plants and this and that, you know, and we can, you know, smile at them because they've been driving the same car for 40 years. Or we can be like, you could have had something. You could have had another car. You know what I mean? You could have played this out a little better. You could have planned better. You could have set me up better. So I want our people to dream big, but I also don't want us to skip so many things that I think the older generation had, which was preparation, which was serving, which was generosity. All of the intangibles, I think, are things that culture is not promoting. And that's what gives you longevity. So the things that are being promoted by culture can get you there, but it won't keep you there. So I think both are necessary.
In your book, because the book is talking about prayer, but you're talking about things outside of prayer. Are you talking about how we can better prepare, how we can better manage, how we can better show God he can trust us? What are some of those things you're talking about in this book? Because you guys, I really need y'all to dial into what Pastor Travis is saying, because you all have heard me say this several times. I live by six P's. Proper prior planning prevents poor performances. Wow. And after hearing this with Pastor Travis, if we could properly, priorly plan, I think it will prevent God from not trusting us, because we can show God he can trust us by spending time and learning how to properly, priorly plan, strategize, manage, so we can show God he can give us more. But I'm curious, Travis, from a spiritual angle that's inside of your book that we're going to read, because we all are going to get this book today. What are some simple things you're teaching us when it comes to managing, when it comes to planning?
Yeah. So for me, planning and managing are, they're almost synonymous. They're not the same thing, but they're definitely a first cousins. They run side by side. You need both. And I think I think you could put them both in the same sentence. I think proper preparation is planning, and proper planning is preparation. So just from the book, right? If we just go to the Bible. All right, let's go back to the story of Gideon. I mentioned him earlier. I got a bunch of stories I can pull, but we'll just use Gideon. Let's just milk a little into the story. It's found in Judges 6 and Judges 7. When Gideon is found, right, the Bible says he's in a wine press threshing wheat. The Bible says that, and I got all this in the book as well, but the Bible says the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, hey, rise, mighty warrior. You're going to go defeat the Midianites, right? There's a plan on your life. There's a purpose. There's a God-given purpose. Don't skip where he's found. He's found in a wine press threshing wheat. Right? You thrust wheat on a threshing floor. The reason you thrust wheat on a threshing floor is because you need the space to actually throw the wheat up, and the wind would separate the wheat from the chaff. He's doing this in a tight space. A wine press was a tight space because all you need to do is crush grapes and make Kool-Aid. That's all you need in a wine press. So historically, it's a tight space, a closet, if you will, and rather than a warehouse where you would thrust wheat. The Bible says he's in this closet, he's in this wine press, because he's hiding from the Midianites, who are 120,000 deep, who will come and destroy, watch this, you're going to like this word, their harvest.
Ooh.
And so this whole story of him going from 32,000 down to 300 is not a military story, it's a management story. It's not just a story about him defeating an army, it's about God putting the right stewards around him in order to maintain and sustain the harvest that God continues to send.
Yes, sir.
That annually the Midianites will come and destroy. One more thing I want to point out from this, the place that happens at, he's in a wine press. Right. And so especially for a ton of your followers with big dreams, and they may be in a tight space, you're not allowed by heaven to skip a season of stewardship because you're in a tight space. you can't say, well, God, when I have more, I'll do more then. When I have more, I'll budget. Gideon was budgeting in a tight space. Your tight space may be a one-bedroom apartment, or it may be a single wide trailer. It may be single mom. It may be working. Whatever your tight space is, God, still, the thing that attracted God to Gideon was not that he was strong. Gideon told him when he said, you're a mighty man. He said, fam, I came from a small family. Not only my family, I'm the weakest in my whole family. You picked the weakest guy of all the Israelites to tell me that I'm the mighty warrior. I'm a judge. I'm the leader of a generation. God says, yeah, it wasn't about your muscles. It was about your management. I found you in a tight space managing. And if you can manage wheat in a wine press, then you can manage tight budget. You can manage in the future when I shrink your company from 32,000 to 300, you won't bend, you won't run, you know how to make it work with tight spaces. So it shows up, I mean, I could go on and on. It shows up all throughout scripture. Your management is a magnet for the miraculous. It's not the opposite. So you're saying, God, just send me more, send me more. And God is saying, for what? What are you gonna do with it? What's the plan? Write the vision, make it plain. God gives provision to vision. This, I'm telling you, this revelation, that's why this book and this burden is so real to me, because it changed my life. I was on the other side of the street. I was shouting, spin around three times, God's going to do it. And God confronted it and said, Travis, one, you're not ready for more. Mm-hmm. Why would you say that? Because you're not managing the tight space. Mm-hmm. So in my little building, before we got, you know, our big building now, we're in a little small building. We could barely fit 300 in there. Now you may say that's not a small building. It was small because we was only supposed to put 150 in there. So we had 300-400 in there, backed up, doing multiple services. And God said, yeah, it's tight. It's tight, but are you threshing wheat here? It's tight, but are you managing? So I walked in like a madman when I got this revelation, and I changed out every ceiling tile. I said, that one's stained. What does it matter? It matters to God. It may not matter to the people who come in here. It matters to God. Yes. The closet is clunky, organize it. Stuff that no one's going to see, but God sees. Yes, and sir. So, God, give me a new car. You still got French fries in the back seat of your current car and a pacifier in back there, and your child 12 now. So when I can clean up and manage what I have, I prove myself to God. I tell God that I'm ready, and I don't have to beg for it. I don't have to ask for it. Once I got this revelation, you'll be surprised how much stuff I don't pray about, how many doors I don't pray for. The future, because I'm a steward of my present, the future pulls me in. I find myself on platforms. I find myself talking to Anthony O'Neill on his show. I find myself in different places. I didn't ask for. I didn't send in a, man, can you please? Can God? I can't tell you the last time I handed out a business card. I don't have to. My management is my marketing. The way I steward my present forces me to continually be evicted from this place. I keep outgrowing it.
Travis!
I keep outgrowing it.
I am evicted from my present. Some of us are not even evicted from our past because we're not changing our present. You think you're here, but really you're back there because you're mismanaging. This brother has said, I'm evicted from my present. I'm not going back to my past. I have to go to my future because my management is the magnet to my, oh my God.
To my miracle. Because it keeps pulling me. My future literally keeps pulling me.
This is good, Trap. This is good. Because you're not saying God can't do miracles. You're saying if you manage it well, you're activating God to do what he can do. Which goes back to what I live by. I pray like it all depends on him, but I work like it all depends on me.
Yes, sir.
Whatever you want to do, God, it's in your hands. But you gave me the resources. You gave me the tools. You gave me the talents. You gave me the knowledge that I am going to steward all that well and work it. But God, I'm still praying. God, whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, when you want to do it, you can do it. But until then, I'm going to do what you told me to do. I'm going to manage my present well so I can be evicted from here and get to oh my gosh. Man, you may see me preach that on one of these. So I'm going to give you credit, man. I'm going to give you credit, Travis, because a lot of us are being evicted from our present, but we're going back to our past.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And it's because God, it goes back to what you said earlier, because God, he no longer trusts us even with what we have in our present. That's convicting to me.
What do you have? Not what do you want? Quit talking about what you want and focus on what you have. What do you have? You know, it's the woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. She comes, this is one of my favorite stories. This widow comes to Elisha, right? She said, my husband ran with a company of prophets. He's dead. They're about to take my sons because that's what they would do if you couldn't pay your debt. She said, so we're in debt and they're about to take my sons. My husband was a, I'm a retired first lady. My husband was a prophet. He left me with no life insurance. We're screwed. We're in trouble.
Yeah.
Elisha looks at her. It's one of the most insensitive scriptures in the Bible. He doesn't ask her Cash App, her Venmo. He doesn't ask for the benevolence committee. He looks at this woman who is crying because she's about to lose her sons to the streets. He looks at her and says, great, what do you have left in your house? He doesn't say, how much do you need? Let me raise an offering for you. No, let's pray for a miracle. God, please do it, do it, do it, do it, Lord. Do it, do it, do it, Lord. The blood. Now, he don't do none of that. He said, all right, I see your tears. I see your tears. What do you have left in your house? Here's a better question. You coming to me talking about who left. Let's focus on what's left. Right? Right? So here's God. Here's God saying, I know your limitations. I know you're in a tight space, widow. But you got something to manage right now. What's left? Yeah. The woman says, I have nothing left. Except a small jar of olive oil. Perfect. Get busy. Manage. Kill. First of all, you forgot about it. And then you call it except a small. It ain't nothing. You think it's insignificant. No, you can manage that. Manage that. Use what you have. Don't focus on what you want. Use what you have. She used the oil. God blessed that. And the rest is history. She gets to keep her sons. She pays off all the debt. So you have enough already. And that's the gospel. That's a good gospel, Anthony, be preaching.
Yes, sir.
You got enough to get started. You got enough to work. You got enough to graduate to the trust zone. The question is, are you using what you have, or has church taught you just to beg for something else that you can't handle? And that's what I'm confronting, man. That's what the book is about. It's really, I'm telling you, it's not a book on prayer. It's a book on us. It confronts this idea that we're waiting on God. Sometimes we are, but many times he's waiting on us. We're singing the same songs. We're saying, God, I'm going to wait on you. And he's singing, I'm going to wait on you. And he's singing, I don't mind waiting. And he's singing, I don't mind waiting. We're singing the same songs. Heaven is waiting on us.
Yes. Yes, sir.
One more thing I want to say, man. I felt this when you were talking. There's so many of us that are frustrated about a season. And I want to encourage you. Don't be frustrated about where you are. Yeah. Overqualify.
Yeah.
Overqualify. Yeah. Overqualify. If you don't just be frustrated. That's easy, man. Anybody can make assessments. Anybody can analyze, you know, what I'm lacking and the chasms. That's easy work, right? Let's graduate. I don't just want to be frustrated with where I am. I want to get overqualified for my present so I get pushed out of it. You know, Joseph is a prime example in Genesis. He never begged for the next season.
Yeah.
He killed where he was at in tight spaces. And constantly the future pulled him in. So that's my admonishment, my encouragement for any and everybody listening.
And man, and you know, when I think about it, you know, Travis, you know, I'm good in a lot of different areas, and thank you for saying that, because I hear some single ladies, some single men like myself saying, man, God, why am I in this season? And what we tend to do is we tend to blame, well, he was this or she didn't do that. And that's what I was doing. Oh, she was this. She didn't have this. She. Yep. And God slapped me in my face and said, yeah, they're not perfect, but they're not the reason why you're still single. And when you can get that, then I could send you your wife because then I could trust you with her. Wow. And I just had to check myself, man, and be like, the reason why I'm in this season is because I haven't forced myself out of my present yet. And I just wanted to say, man, thank you for saying that, because what I hear God saying is you're maximizing this season, but you're not preparing to be a
great.
And when I started really hearing that from God, I was like, okay, God, I'm maximizing, I'm focused on building a business. I'm maximizing, I'm focusing on helping other people get out of debt and build wealth and travel all over the world, but I'm not preparing myself to be the husband that I really desire to be deep down.
Yes.
And when I really got that revelation, man, I'm no longer disappointed that I'm in this season because I'm excited because I'm getting the preparation to force myself into the next season. So
I'll throw one curve at that as well, right?
Yeah.
When we talk about culture, I think it's also very important too. I had a mentor tell me this years ago. I was like, man, I need better leaders at my church. I need this, that. And he told me this, very practical. He said, man, I pray for God to like just shine his light on people, like for me. And so like, if I'm on stage preaching, man, shine a light on somebody who I need to take the lunch or put emphasis on. Or if I'm in the lobby, shine a light on somebody. So that became my prayer. And literally I have people on staff today that came from that light, that just, you know, ordinary person that God just like shined a light. And I was like, yo man, let's get together. Let's talk or whatever. I said that to say, I think one thing we want to be very careful with in this generation is our list. I think many times, man, we box God in to our preferences and our options. And I'm not saying I think it's okay. Some things are okay. Like, you know, kind of what you need to thrive. You know what you need not to be tempted in the future. All of those things I'm not really talking to as much as sometimes, though, our list gets a little petty. Like, they gotta be making this amount, or they gotta be. And man, you know, I'll just say for me, if that was my list and if that was my wife's list, we wouldn't be together. When we got together, you know, my wife was, she was in school to become a dentist, and I was an aspiring worship artist. You know what I mean? She didn't marry Travis Green. She married Trav. It's a difference. And so sometimes God will link you up with someone if you're single to grow together and to be able to help work out each other's kinks and to be able to pull out another version, different version, better version of each other. So I just want to say, don't discount who God may choose to shine a light on because they don't look like your list or because they don't have the, you know, they got to own 5 businesses, dog. They got to do this and that. You may be missing out on someone who in a few years you can help grow together, which gives you, to me, a little more stickiness. I think when two things are ready made, I think sometimes we lack the appreciation for the value of the other one. But man, when I'm a part of your story, when I see my wife shining and Sarah Jakes give her the mic in front of 40,000 women or just different opportunities, I look at her a little different. I look at her saying, I'm a part of that.
Yes,
you know
sir.
What I mean? I don't look at her like, oh man, yeah, she got her own brand. No, I am her brand. You know what I mean? Like, I am, she is my brand. Like, we're one because we built this life together. So I don't know. I just want to throw that out for people who just feel like they got to be, oh, she got to be. Yeah, I think there are pros in that, but I think there are a lot of cons that you may be overlooking that, man, if I can build with someone and we can help each other get to the best version of ourselves, I just think it makes it a little more sticky, you know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I received that. I received that as a single man, and I'm adding that to my present. And
they can't be lazy. You know what I mean? Those things are just not negotiable. They can't be lazy. You know what I mean? Some things just not. You got to be driven. You got to, like, we both had the intangibles. We were driven. We had vision. We knew, like, I'm going somewhere. I knew I needed a woman who was going to be busy because I'm busy. So it's like, I want you to be active. I want you to have, or else you're going to be bored waiting on me to show back up. So I want you to have your own thing. I want you to have your own meetings. Like, those things were attractive to me even back then, but it wasn't superficial. Yeah. Like, you know, and so I just want to encourage a generation, like, let's get beyond the superficial a little bit, because in Hollywood, everybody hooking up with somebody who's somebody and they don't stay together past 15 months. So you want someone who you can build with, be a part of each other's story, value, you know, the asset that both of y'all are to each other.
Yes, sir, man. Trav, this has been an amazing conversation. And I just want to say thank you, man. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for your message in this book. And you guys, this is a book that I really want y'all to get, man. I met Travis Green when Travis was first getting started. I booked him when I was 22 years old, you know.
Absolutely.
Brought him to Fayetteville, North Carolina. Called him again and said, hey, can you come out to Jacksonville, Florida?
Absolutely.
This is when Travis was flying Southwest for me.
Hey, alone, Doc. Hey, me and the guitar. Ready to be there.
I pick him up. I was driving Acura TL back then. You know,
hey, they don't know, bro. They don't know, man.
Listen, man.
They don't know.
See how God didn't have a church. Didn't even know if he had church on his mind.
He was not interested in it at all.
And look at him now. Selling books, thriving church, beautiful wife. A great family. A thriving church in a city that I think a lot of people was like, Travis is going to Columbia? Like,
I was sick. Columbia? I didn't come to Columbia. I was sick. Yes, sir. And I'm not pastoring for ego. I'm pastoring off of instruction. So, but it's the same, man. I just, the big takeaway, you know, I know you're giving a benediction, but I want everybody to just have the same takeaway, man. Lock in where you are. Like, what you have is enough to get busy. You know, I think it's Second Kings chapter 3. Dig ditches right where you are. Make this valley full of ditches. Yeah, it's a valley. Yeah, you're thirsty. Yeah, there's an army coming. But you know where to find a shovel. Dig and prepare for the miracle that you're asking for. And I promise you, your management will be a magnet for the miraculous. Faithfulness is a magnet for favor. You don't even have to ask for it. You just got to prepare, lock in, use what you have, and God will do the rest.
That's how we're going to close right there. I need you to get my brother's book. We're going to drop it in today's show notes. Please go there and get it, because I promise you it will bless you today.
And audio book.
Yeah, definitely, especially for our podcast listeners. But are you praying for the wrong thing? And I think the majority of us are. And if we can switch how we pray and how we get to God, then everything that God puts inside of our heart, we will get. All right.
Yes,
so we thank y'all so much for listening to today's show. Make sure y'all tune in to the next one. We'll see you in the next one. Peace out. God bless.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.